morning, Redfern, and welcome to Behind the Lights with me, Seb.
And me, Jono.
As always, we pay respect to the traditional custodians of the land we're coming from, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. Well, Jono, before we get on to, I guess, an early season reviews of the NRL and AFL, what else caught your eye in the sporting week that's been?
Yeah, as you said, especially for Australia, I think everything's kind of in play as of right now for all Australian leagues, pretty much. So a lot going on here, but I'll switch it over to the United States for a second. Big win for the United States men's national team in football,
yep.
Becoming the CONCACAF Nations League winner for the third time actually now. And they've now beaten they have not lost to Mexico since 2019 as well, which I think is a huge win for the United States program as a whole, because realistically, especially in those early and mid 2000s, it was always Mexico realistically dominating the stage. I think this has really proven that all the investment in the footballing world for the United States has actually started to pay off, because now we have some dominance there. So for me, I love seeing it. I think the game is continuously growing there, and it's just showing in these types of results as well.
Yeah, great win for the U.S.
Again, sticking with the United States, March Madness is well underway, which is the biggest, essentially, basketball tournament across both men's and women's. For the men's side in particular, you know, so many people from President Joe Biden to any average person out there submits their brackets onto ESPN.
Yep,
there was 22 million brackets submitted this year in terms of trying to choose, you know, all the way from the first day all the way to the grand final and everything. In day one alone, all brackets out of the 22 million besides 1,825 survived. And then shortly after that, there was zero remaining. So this year, zero remaining brackets already. And we're only a couple days in, almost about a week in, and already zero perfect brackets remaining. And then lastly, just as a little stat that came out of March Madness as well, which I thought was quite shocking. And it just shows you how good these players are at Oklahoma City. You have the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is a professional NBA team, has an average age of 22.6, whereas UNC, which is University of North Carolina, their starting five has an average age of 22.2. So a 0.4 difference between a collegiate starting lineup and an NBA professional basketball team starting lineup, in which is one of the best teams in the NBA as well.
Yeah.
So it really shows the talent of those particular starting five for the Oklahoma City Thunder, because that's just honestly, absolutely incredible to see that many young, talented players all on one team. And it really just shows this team, if they're that good right now, they are in for a really, really bright future.
Yeah, I think Thunder fans are in for a bright future there with that team. For me, John, I'm going to start in Melbourne, and I don't think we could ignore the F1 Grand Prix. Yeah. And Ferrari claimed 1 and 2 after Carlos Sainz won it ahead of teammates Charles Leclerc after both Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen failed to finish. So some big storylines to come out of the F1 and a big start for Ferrari. We know they're in. They want to challenge Red Bull and Verstappen this year. So a good win for them at the F1 Melbourne. Number two, Jono, Euro 2024 qualifiers and the final spots will be decided this week. Georgia taking on Greece, Ukraine taking on Iceland, Wales taking on Poland. Jono, an exciting way to see the last three spots decided for Euros. One-off games, everything on the line for these nations.
100%. Each one has everything to play for. And it'll just be really interesting because there's a couple good clashes there as well in terms of some teams that historically do quite well in the Euros and everything in particular. So it'd be fantastic to see any of them really kind of going forth.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing to see those games in action. And lastly, Jono, what an amazing NBL Championship Series it's been. The Tasmanian Jack Shambles will head home this week looking to wrap it up after a thrilling victory over Melbourne United in Game 3, 93-91, after Jack Mavey's incredible game winner. Jono, an incredible way to finish the game, and what a shot by Jack Mavey to win it for the Jack Jumpers in Melbourne.
It's not even just even that shot. It's the ball save before that, just the franticness and everything as well. I mean, you just have to go and watch it as well. For that to be essentially the game winner for that game, it's just absolutely incredible, and really puts the Jack Jumpers with a strong, strong chance now going into things. And I think all of Tasmania and most people probably across Australia would be rooting for them at this point.
And all our wishes are with our shout out to Jacob, Jordan Crawford and his Jack Jumpers. Thursday night we'll be watching. So good luck to Jordan and his teammates. Well, John, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the NRL and AFL, three rounds in. I know it's been a bit of a split round, especially that first round, but starting to settle in. And we'll start with the NRL. Some big headlines already coming out so early on in the season. I guess the biggest one, Jono, is the South Sydney Rabbitohs and their struggles. Obviously belted by the Sydney Roosters in the last round in obviously that big derby match, and they really got out-muscled and out-enthused by the Sydney Roosters. Jono, we've heard rumours of some, I guess, plays and some cultural issues at the Rabbitohs, which we did hear at the back end of last year when they missed out on the finals. What have you made about all the noise around the Rabbitohs? They dropped their halves this week and went with a new combination. The pressure on Latrell Mitchell and Cody Walker. We know how such big personalities they are in that dressing room. What have you made of the South Sydney Rabbitohs so far? And also, I guess, the rumoured cultural issues that may exist within that playing squad.
I mean, look, first and foremost, result-wise, you'd just be disappointed. I think most people would just be disappointed with the way that this has started. I think there's actually some big expectations. I think even when you look at the opening round, look, they actually played a really, really good game against Manly. So you kind of had some high hopes. Okay, yeah, you know what, Manly played an absolutely incredible game. But it was really a good showing. And then it just seems like it just started to crumble from there. And I think that this is potentially now something that it shows that locker room, off the field dynamics as well can really have an impact on a team. Because look, especially this weekend, that was a thrashing, right? Yeah. Like that was the players are too good individually to have that type of a beatdown, right? So something is going on where mentally they're just not switched on. They're not trusting in each other as well. I mean, look, you're talking about a very high contact sport where you need to have that trust in the players next to you at all times, right? Otherwise, it's going to lead to some big hits, big turnovers, big moments, right? That are essentially coming up in these games. And right now, I just feel like that there's a little bit of a lack of energy, lack of passion, and lack of cohesion right now. And again, it could be boiled down to what's happening, all the noise off the field as well, and how they're handling that.
Yeah, most concerning, I think, was the reaction. I think a lot of people thought if there was a game for the Rabbitohs to be up for, it'd be against that arch rival, the Sydney Roosters.
100%.
Friday night at Allianz Stadium in front of a big crowd. And they just were never really in the match, Jono. And the Roosters just overran them. And I guess, interestingly, they're the moments where you want your big players to stand up. Latrell, we know he's had some with this Spencer Lenu, and we know how vocal he's been on those issues and coming out and talking about that, which I think is part of Latrell, but it seems to have affected maybe his performance as well. And obviously there's pressure on him as the fullback and as one of the big players for the Rabbitohs. And if they're expected to go close to winning a premiership, Latrell has to be at the forefront. The other player is Cody Walker. Just seems a little bit off it at the moment. So, Jono, how important do you think it is for the Rabbitohs to get their big players, their big personalities, back on the right track and playing their best football?
I think in particular, when you look at Latrell Mitchell, it's not even just important for the Rabbitohs. It's important for the league as well. Yep. He's one of the marquee men, right? I mean, he realistically is. He's one of the better players. I think most just average fans actually really quite enjoy him as well. So he's very likable in that sense as well. So making sure that he's playing at a high level is important, of course, for the Rabbitohs to have some success. Look, as you said, they're not going to have success without him in particular kind of leading the charge. And then for the NRL as a whole, you want him to be successful because he makes things exciting. He comes up some great big plays. But right now, again, it just looks like just something isn't clicking there right now. And again, if it is the off-the-field noise, look, professional athletes deal with this at all levels, right? And you have to then figure out how to sometimes block that out when you step onto the field. And right now, that's what they're lacking, I think, is that sense of just blocking out all the other noise because it's affecting their play right now.
Well, we'll be out there. Good Friday clash this week. A massive game, Jono, against the Bulldogs. And we saw them with a big win over the weekend. So the Rabbitohs can't afford to go 4-0 to start the season. But it's going to be a huge game, Jono, and a big crowd out there on Friday afternoon. In another big story, Jono, we'll look at the West Tigers. An encouraging first win on the weekend over the Sharks at Leichhardt Oval. Big win for Benji Marshall. But a bit of pressure on him and the way Marshall has gone about his coaching methods. He said it and he sort of stated that he wants to still be there for his family and his young family and be there to look after his kids along with his wife. How possible do you think that is in terms of a professional coaching environment? How much does a coach need to sacrifice some of that family life to be a full-time coach and a successful coach? He's gone into a West Tiger situation that haven't been a winning culture for many years now. He's looking to change that. Do you think it's possible to have a balanced family life as well as being a successful football coach in this scenario?
Look, I mean, I would say, yeah, it would have to be possible because I think nowadays as well, Look, we have to have that a little bit of that balance, right? Because what's going to happen is it's going to lead to then some sort of burnout as well, yeah. Right? If you want to invest in a coach for the long term and everything like that, you need to have some sense of balance. And look, some people, you know, like it does consume their life, right? And then it's just they lose out
24/7
on
24/7 almost, yeah, for a lot of them.
Exactly. And then they're losing out on that aspect of life, which is their family. And that is so important because, look, there is going to be life after this as well.
Yep.
So I think having a little bit of that balance. Now, don't get me wrong. During the season, yeah, your commitment level needs to be especially a bit higher. But I don't think it needs to fully consume your life. And you need to be able to offer a little bit of reprieve from things as well because – quite frankly, if it's just consuming you constantly and you're not having a successful run as well,
yeah,
then it's going to lead to a lot of problems, right? So having a little bit of a balance is not necessarily a bad thing. I don't think that should be looked down upon at all. And I think that there has to be ways and around it as well. You have to look at ways. It's modern day now. We need to be able to offer that. So I think it's nothing that's unreasonable at this point. And again, if you're investing in a coach, I think that you need to look at it from a whole holistic approach as well in terms of offering that little bit of balance between their life.
Well, as you mentioned, I think it always becomes a little easier when your team starts winning. So hopefully, yeah, Benji, after that win on the weekend, the Tigers can grow on it. They got a massive Easter Monday clash against an informed Parramatta Eels. So it'll be interesting to see if Marshall and his Tigers team can back up the good performance over the Sharks. Looking a bit on the field, Jono, Penrith looking to go 4 premierships in a row and a, yeah, big win over Brisbane this week, a statement win. It was a Brisbane team, though, without Payne Haas, Adam Reynolds, and we saw the nasty fractured eye socket to Reece Walsh. So, obviously, some of the Brisbane's biggest players weren't involved, but Nathan Cleary was exceptional in this game, John. And Penrith look like, if there's a team that can do it, they possibly could go 4 in a row, which would be amazing considering the players they've lost as well.
No, definitely can. And as you said, it looks like Nathan Cleary hasn't even lost a beat, right? I mean, he's
unbelievable. He's still only 25.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the incredible thing. Is like, I mean, you think about his dominance now for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Absolute dominance as well. In undisputed, probably, you know, overall, that's the player. If you're going to build a squad,
yep,
you're choosing him, right?
Yep.
And yeah, they look so strong once again. Not saying that they're gonna have some faults this year. It's gonna happen, right? They're not gonna be the unstoppable force that they might have once been. They're gonna have some losses, and I think everybody just needs to be ready for that. But that doesn't mean that you can count them out in any way, because when they're all clicking, they look absolutely dangerous, and they are led by a fearless leader who is just incredible on all sides of the ball.
Yeah, Penrith look like they'll certainly be up there again. And also, just to touch on John, another good story to come out of the early rounds, I think. And good for my team as well. But Luke Brooks settling in at Manly. We know the pressure in Cooker that he's come out from in terms of the Tigers, how much money he was on and the expectations around him. But he looks like he's really freed up and really developing a good combination with Daly Trevin. So great to see Luke Brooks really showing his talent in a completely new environment. So great to see that. Switching gears, Jono, looking at the AFL. And we'll look at the Sydney Swans, our local team here. But off to an exciting start. And without 3 of their elite midfielders in Luke Parker, Callum Mills and Taylor Adams, while new recruit Brody Grundy, who they got from the Melbourne Demons last year, has really settled in well. But Jono, the Swannies, I guess, making the finals last year, obviously didn't go all the way to the grand final, but look like they could be set for a deep run into September, possibly if they can keep players fit and these exciting youngsters that are emerging.
Mate, how often do you see this, that the New South Wales team's leading the charge.
GWS and
Swannies.
You've
got both the Giants, yep, and the Swans both leading the charge and both looking really, really good. I would absolutely love to see both these teams. In particular, look, you know, you lean more to the Swans, us being here located in Sydney. But, yep, like, man, both of them are just firing right now. It's absolutely incredible. And look, I think, I mean, we've been seeing it live from the start there, the opening game with the Swans. They looked really, really strong.
It was a bit,
right?
Melbourne, Collingwood, like, and Essendon in your first 3. Collingwood, a big win, and we'll touch on Collingwood in, yeah, a sec, but a big win to win in the MCG, to beat Melbourne, who people fancy to be right there at the end as well. It hasn't been an easy start for the Swannies.
No, but they've been able to get the job done. Yep. And I think that right now they're looking like one of the heavy forces right now, and if they can just keep this consistent run, I mean, look, then the sky's the limit, right? You get some early form here and you kind of take that into the season. Yeah, you might hit a little mid-stride where you hit a little bit of a slump or something like that. But you have this kind of early form to kind of lean back on. man, they're looking good. And as you said, it's a little bit of a different Sydney Swans team, yep, than what we've seen in years past and everything, but they're still able to just get the job done. And I'm just excited to see so many New South Wales teams, the two New South Wales teams doing so well.
And both of those teams playing some great, exciting football. They're looking to bounce, and they really, any turnovers, they really hit teams so fast on that counter-attack. And as I said, three elite midfielders still to come back into that Sydney, yep, team. So it'll be interesting once those boys are fit and ready to go, how Sydney shuffle the pack in regards to catering for all those talents in there. Looking at the other end, Jono, surprisingly, I don't think anyone would have had this tipped, both grand finalists, Brisbane and Collingwood from last season, still remain winless. They play each other this week in a blockbuster match. Collingwood potentially, Jono, could go 0-4, the defending, yeah, premiers from last year. What have you made of their start? Obviously not easy. They've played some big teams, but I don't think any Collingwood fans or any AFL fans would have thought Brisbane and Collingwood would still be winless nearly a month into this new season.
Yeah, I think in particular when you look at Collingwood as well, you'd be definitely a little bit shook here and you'd be very nervous right now for this start.
Absolutely.
Thinking about how long can this go on for. Look, Brisbane as well. I mean, of course, right? You'd be a bit nervous as well.
Well, shock loss over in the West last round. I don't think anyone tipped out. And obviously, a 1-point loss to Carlton,
yep,
after leading by almost 40 points in that game, Jono. So it's still early.
Oh, yeah.
But there's obviously, they want to get that first win under your belt. You know how important that is in a new season to start getting that winning feeling in that squad.
Well, Collingwood as well, I think it's going to be, in particular, a bit of a mental battle as well. That this struggle kind of continues as well. You know that they have such a large support base, yep, as well. Yep. And how those fans are not going to be, they're just not going to be happy with that, right? And they're going to make it heard. As much as they're going to clearly support them and keep rallying them, the criticism is going to come down.
Yep,
and then it's 100% going to be a mental game as well. Because we know how much it means to that fan base. So, I mean, I give it another couple of weeks, and if they don't start snapping out of it, I think it's just potentially going to get even worse.
And we know how hard it is to defend a premiership. It's hard enough to win one, but to come back and, yeah, do it again, we know how hard that is. And teams adjust it and work out ways to obviously stop you playing your most effective football. We saw last year how many times Collingwood came back in that fourth quarter. They've shown glimpses this year, but teams have been able to hold on and then surge themselves. So a massive game this week between Brisbane and Collingwood. It's going to be, yep, huge for both teams. At the other end too, John, it looks like it could be a long year for West Coast, North Melbourne, yeah, and Hawthorn. We know West Coast, it's been a pretty lean years for a few years now. North Melbourne trying to rebuild and, yeah, and Hawthorn also in that rebuild. But fans of those teams, John, it could be potentially a bit of a long year.
And then it's just the big results against them as well. It just, yep, makes it that much worse. We're not even talking about we're splitting ends here or something like that. They're just not looking good right now. So yeah, I think it's going to be a very, very long year. And it's, the results right now are just showing themselves as to what the year is to become.
Well, a long way to go in both the AFL and NRL, but it's great to have the football back. And as I said, we'll be covering here right on behind the lights. And I'm sure we'll be attending many of these matches in both codes, Jono, along the year. Well, as always, we'll finish with five quick questions. I think you've got me this week, mate.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
All right, sticking with the NRL to start, what has been more surprising for you, the Cowboys at the top of the ladder or the Bunnies at the bottom?
The Bunnies. Yeah. So I actually think the Cowboys, we know they've got attacking flair. I'm still convinced that they can put an 80-minute performance against some of the really big boys. Mm. But I thought the Cowboys would be a good team this year. But I didn't think the Rabbitohs would start that so bad, slowly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd agree with that as well. Switching over to the AFL, as we just talked about, both Brisbane and Collingwood.
Yep.
Right now, as you said, both have their struggles. But right now, based on their form, who would you pick to finish in the top four out of those two?
Ooh. I'm going to say Brisbane, two closer losses. Collingwood have actually been on the Swans, beat them by 30, could have been 50.
Big
St Kilda were pretty comfortable, and then that GWS building pretty comfortably in that first round. So I'm going to say Brisbane at this stage.
Yeah.
A long way to go, though.
Yeah, yeah. Collingwood, that's just the thing. Few, is that it's not as close as losses.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Switching over to the NBA, the Houston Rockets have now won the last eight, and they're actually only one game behind.
A bit of a roll.
One game behind the Golden State Warriors and three games behind the Lakers in terms of the play-in series. Do you think that they have enough left in them to make a run and potentially knock out either the Lakers or Golden State from that play-in spot?
I'm still going to put my faith in the Golden State and Lakers to hold on.
Not much left. Not much left.
I just think maybe Houston have left it just a little bit too late, but man, they've made it interesting, and especially the Golden State Warriors, they're not far off. And, you know, momentum is a funny thing, especially at the back end of the year. So it's certainly made interesting, but I think Golden State and LA Lakers will hold on.
They need to wake up now if they're going to do
Absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Switching over to the footballing world, you had Brazil had a big win over England in a friendly. Is that going to raise any concerns for England going into the Euros?
Well, if you hear the talkback radio in England, there's certainly fans. I think there's a whole lot of fans that are a bit disillusioned with Gareth Southgate. I mean, you've got to put into context, it is a friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess the aspects of the performance that have been raised have been issues that have been raised before and have been raised in tournaments. So there's still that huge question mark about England and can they raise their performance under this manager to be able to win a tournament? Because you need... it's not just about being tight and conservative. Can you also go out and play it and really stamp your authority on teams? So it's still to be proven.
Yeah. Good goal as well to see Endrick kind of...
17-year-old. Yeah, what a moment
Brazilian,
for him.
Yeah, so absolutely. Brazilian career. So.
But yeah, Real Madrid next year as well.
Yeah. And then lastly, something close to your heart, Wednesday morning, 4 a.m. Australia time, will Huge. Greece... punch their ticket to the to the Euros.
We'll get to the World Cup in a couple of years, but no, the Euros firstly, 100%. I think we can do it. I think we'll impressive against Kazakhstan. The game was over at halftime, so great to see Gus Poyet and the Greek boys putting in a performance like that. So I think we're going to have enough to see Georgia and book our ticket to Germany, which would be great to see the Greeks.
4 a.m. Wednesday morning Australian time. Let's
get up,
see if it happens.
Get up, guys. It's going to be a magnificent match. Well, that brings you another episode of Behind the Lights with me, Seb.
And me, Jono.
As always, thank you for your support and good night.